Podcast 108, Listener Questions and Starting from Scratch. Sponsored by my buddies at PantryParadis.com. They sell food preservation tools. Produce, prepare, preserve your own harvest.
So I guess this is part two, and you're, and Jocelyn's looking up the questions.
Yes, I'm stuck with my handheld trying to load a web page.
I guess this might be a good time to point out, like, I think that the Reddit thing, I can't really do anything about it right now because we're, like, doing all these little errands and stuff. I don't know why they are going, and it's just going to have to wait until, what, tonight or tomorrow? It's like, well, I guess while they all rage against what the amazing thing was is, like, this massive number of upvotes on the whole topic of ban Paul Wheaton. And it's like, that's totally, I mean, basically it's publicity for me and making me out to be something huge. But as I read through the posts, they are crazy childish. They're like, so basically the theme of it is that somebody said, you have to run your forums the way I say. And I said, fuck off. And now they've gone into total hysterics over that. That, you know, basically they require that I be their servant because I've created something big. At one point I said something like, think about the Mona Lisa. So somebody came along and they said they wanted to write on the Mona Lisa permaculture rules. And then this Da Vinci bastard stood up and said, fuck off. Get away from that. That's mine. And they're like, hey, man, that's not very community, man. That's not very permaculture, man. And so it's kind of like, you know, hey, permies.com, that's mine. Fuck off. I'm shooting for a certain kind of thing. And if you don't like it, that's cool. Go away. Go find something you like. So why are you spending time on something that you don't like?
Well, and especially on Reddit. I mean, the tone and the language use and stuff like that on Reddit is all about fucking off. I mean, you were just telling me how Bruce Campbell owned the AMA.
Oh, yeah.
You know, subreddit. That he just kicked in the way he responded to questions. It was totally in line with Redditors and how they talk to each other on Reddit.
Right.
And I think your saying fuck off is really in alignment with
it's
a lot of
Redditors.
It is. So to me it's ironic that they're having a heyday with that. Sorry. I forgot to turn my ringer off.
So, all right, you got a question yet?
Phil wrote quite a lengthy response to your Deviating from the Norm podcast, and I'm trying to find the question in there.
Well, I know that Kelly Ware wrote one, and...
And it was about water harvesting, which you said you're getting back to, right?
Yeah, and so I need to get back to doing those podcasts with Kelly when we were reviewing the Greywater book by Art Ludwig. And I think she can bring it up in one of those. I'll be able to answer her question fully and completely with her on the phone. So.
Well, the other question she had in that post was winter preparation, fall and winter preparation. What do you do to get your site ready for winter? How do you put things to bed? Or what would be your priorities, I guess?
Like for a garden?
Let me go back to it. I think just in general.
Oh, well, I would say that when you get your permaculture system set up right, you won't do anything. I mean, you'll take a nap. You will read permies.com. You will have a lovely bowl of soup. because basically the system takes care of itself. You don't put it to bed. It'll all be fine by itself. I suppose that if you've got some projects where you've decided to take on the additional work of taking care of something that isn't going to do well in your cold region, than there will be tasks. I mean, like, so imagine that, like, when Sepp Holzer raises citrus, you know, up at his place, he's probably doing some tasks in the fall to keep that citrus alive for the winter.
Right.
But I would think that a good permaculture system wouldn't have anything like that. So we were talking earlier about a guy with a greenhouse. And so we were at that Transition Woodenville event, and look at this guy's like, you know, greenhouse. You have to, you know, in fact, he was saying you can't raise tomatoes without one. And I had to explain to him that, you know, I successfully raised tomatoes in the same area with them. And he says, well, you can't raise tomatoes unless you transplant them. So I said, my last year, they were all volunteers. Not a single one was transplanted. They all grew up from seed. And so, I mean, he kept kind of coming up with this, it's impossible, that's not happening, that's not true kind of thing. And in the end, I kind of kept pointing out that, oh, it's exactly what I did was the thing that you said is impossible. So when it comes to greenhouses, one of the things that I, because he was saying he has to have a greenhouse. So I'm telling him that, well, if you have a greenhouse, then you are taking on a lot of work that comes with it. I mean, once you have a greenhouse, you've got to water everything in that greenhouse. You've got to control its environment. If you close the doors, you have to be there in case the day gets warm and you open them. Unless, of course, you do something where, like, you have all these auto things that will automatically open and close things and turn on fans and stuff depending on certain temperatures and stuff. But that just seems to me like that's not permaculture. I mean, you know, now you've grown very dependent. And granted, while it is entirely possible that there are things you can do with the greenhouse, it's just this phenomenal, huge amount of work. And on top of that, most of the greenhouses I've ever seen are built in the winter shade. And it's like, I get all these people that are so, like, come look at my property. Isn't that awesome and spectacular and wonderful? And look at this awesome and spectacular and wonderful greenhouse that I have. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying, okay, isn't that, like, totally in the shade in the winter? And it's like, oh, well, we just built it 2 months ago, so winter hasn't gotten here yet. And it's like, okay, see those trees over there? Notice how they're conifers. They're going to keep all their needles in the winter. And they're on the south side of your property. You're going to totally be in the shade. Or I've even been to somewhere where they built it on the north side of the house.
Right. Okay, so moving along from there, because I think we've heard you talk about that before.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I did find another question from R. Hastings. We had more accolades, you know, from Phil and also from Nancy, enjoying your podcast. But then R. Hastings was wondering about making the big bucks with permaculture. And he talks about his wife, so I'm assuming R. Hastings is a guy, that they have a long-term goal of becoming farmers of a nice 40 to 60 acre tract someday soon. She is worried, as am I, if I have to be honest about it, that we will...
Everything else he says is a lie.
Yeah.
Only this one statement is honest.
Okay.
Okay.
So she is worried, as am I, if I have to be honest, that we will screw something up, make mistakes, fall on our faces, and lose what capital, we go broke, we have before we are actually able to make it a going concern. As a loyal listener, I'd love it if you address such a concern. I think that the fear of uncertainty is what keeps most of us from diving into the unknown.
Well, okay, does he say how many acres he's got?
They're hoping for 40 to 60 soon.
Oh, okay, so they haven't bought land yet.
Right.
Okay, all right. I think it takes a long time to ramp up to making the big bucks. I mean, basically... I mean, the way I started off was with the idea, my plan was systems feeding systems feeding systems. I mean, basically, if the output from raising pigs can be the input for raising chickens, and then the output for raising chickens can be the input for other systems, including maybe the pigs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, well, then you've got a big step up over those organizations which are like, okay, we've got all these pigs here, and now we've got this waste product that's the manure, and, you know, we need more inputs and they're, you know, so it's like, I found, and then the other thing is, when you get things going, it's really hard to predict what the markets will be like. Like, what are the things that people want to buy from you? And so you go out, you try a bunch of different things, and then suddenly one of the things that you try turns out to be a huge, like them half your income. And it's like suddenly people are going apeshit for that one thing.
Well, and I think it depends on where your talent and abilities lie as well, depending on so many different factors. So who is it that posts on Permies that does the forestry and all the woodworking in Costa Rica? Is that Fred Morgan?
Maybe. Okay. I can't remember.
Okay. Well, there's a guy that posts on Permies a lot that just does amazing woodworking in Costa Rica and has permaculture systems for that, from the sounds of it. And I just think that's awesome. That's amazing. He's, and then other people, their focus may be more workshops and trainings or, and then other people might be all about the market gardening. They just, or a CSA. It just depends, I would think, on your interests and aptitudes and what your local community has a market for.
Right. So for me, I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast, the hog turned out to be a big booming thing for me.
Right.
And then that turned out to be the gateway for some of my other things.
Right.
But it's like, it took years to evolve systems to a certain point. And now, you know, I'll get property and I'll be starting over from scratch again. It'll be years until I end up at something profitable.
Right.
And so there is risk. And there is no guarantee that you're going to make a lot of money. But I do think that one sure way of not making the big bucks is to start off and say, I will never make the big bucks.
Right.
And I see lots of people that say, in fact, there's a lot of people on Permies who it's their position that they don't want to make big money. They want to give their food away, or they want to sell it for really, really cheap to people that are really poor.
Well, it's starting a business, being an entrepreneur, and there's a lot of people that just stay in their day jobs or in their rat race jobs and never make that leap for the same reasons people don't make a permaculture homesteading type leap. They're afraid, or they're afraid they're going to go broke doing something new and different like that, that they don't have the security of someone else handing them the paycheck. And I think there are many, many different ways you could look. You can make it happen more easily. I mean, there are ways you can work your day job into a remote situation or a part-time situation so that you can still have an income stream while you're developing your permaculture systems. That's something some people do. Some people save up and then go for it so that they know they have a little nest egg to live off of while they're getting their systems going. Or they get enough property that they may have a rental situation that'll help pay their mortgage while they're getting it going. I mean, there's a bunch of different models people can look at. But I think the one good example, a friend of mine said to me years ago, and this was not about permaculture, it was just about people bemoaning that they're not doing their true love. Like, oh, I wish I could be a photographer. I just would love to be a photographer. And my friend was always highly critical of those people, saying, well, if you want to be a photographer, start taking pictures, you know, in the evening, on the weekend. Start reading about it. Start doing it. And if you develop this avocation enough, you could, you know, you can start creating a business out of it. And it's the people who sit around and go, oh, I wish I could do that. Like, they think it just needs to be handed to them, that are the people that would drive her crazy. And I think the really awesome thing are the people that are discussing things, reading books, trying things in their own small lots, and doing all of this work and building this knowledge base before they go out to the homesteading. I think that's really smart. that helps.
I think there's a lot to be said for good luck comes from hard work. And,
yeah.
And you got to go out and you got to try 100 things, and two of them are going to work out, and you'll never know in advance which two. As far as people going out, like the photographer, want, you know, hey, shitter, get off the pot. Go be a photographer or shut the fuck up.
Right.
I think that there's a lot to be said for that. At the same time, there's that that Windward community that has an awesome document. I can't remember what they call it, but it says something like it tells these stories about like a couple that comes out to their community to do farming, and one of them is like, this is awesome, and it's like, you know, they have to take steps to keep them from working 80 hours a week because they're loving it so much. And 2 weeks into it, they're just eating, breathing, dreaming, eating and breathing, dreaming, everything farming, community. They're just loving it all. It's such a fit, and they're just totally grooving on it. In the meantime, their spouse thought that they would be that way. They were sure, utterly sure that they would be that way until they actually got there and got like half a day into it, and then their thing was like, I don't like this. I don't like. And then they fight it. And then they were so sure they were going to love it. And then it turns out to be, no, they really hate it. They can't stand it. This is like, and now they regret the whole move. I mean, it was a leap. They took a leap as a couple.
Right.
They sold their home. They, you know, because they were so sure. And it turned out that, like, you know, one party, it was right. It did. It turned out to be awesome for them and for the other party. And so basically what this document said is that moving to a community as a couple leads to divorce. And it's like, let's take that lesson and apply it to the person that's a photographer. For a lot of people, the moment that being a photographer goes from being something that they love doing to a job, they hate it. And they don't take any more pictures. It's just suddenly, you know, everything that they loved about it is gone. And I think that needs to be respected. And you know, and I think the other thing is jumping onto a piece of land could turn out to be a problem. I think that rather than saying, okay, how can you make big income the first year, which I think would be an interesting topic. Like okay, you're gonna move on to the land first year, year one. How do you make money year one? And whoa, that would be brutally hard. And I'm not sure. I kind of wonder if part of it should be to. Well, anyway, leaving that aside for a moment, the big thing is that read the book Mortgage Free, and read Jacob's book Early Retirement Extreme. I mean, I think that these books have recipes, so it's like you can get to the point where you can basically buy your freedom. I mean, if you're a wage slave and you're talking about, now I'm going to switch, but I've got $80,000 in debt, I think you're fucked. I think it's going to be very, very hard to get that to work. On the other hand, if you buy your freedom, you buy your way out of slavery, then you like look for land the way that is recommended in Mortgage Free, and you play it that way, I think you have a much better chance of success. I mean, imagine what it is if you've got 20 grand in the bank and you own a chunk of land and you've built a wafati on that land. I mean, you probably just bought yourself 5 years of sitting around doing nothing if you want. And so during that same 5 years, you could instead start building your permaculture markets and start building your own permaculture empire on your new chunk of land. Mm-hmm. All right. Did I answer the question?
I think we looked at that. And I think we need to move on to our next errand.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It's the Super Bowl is supposed to be on now, and I thought, okay, let's go to Costco and get our Costco thing done, and there'll be nobody there because everybody will be at home watching the Super Bowl. And it turns out your community is cooler than I thought.
Not so much football here as in Spokane.
Either that, or maybe they think the game is lame or something. I don't know, but this, you know, I thought we would be able to waltz in and be like the only people in all of Costco, but I guess not. All right. So anyway, if you like this sort of thing, come on out to the forums at permies.com, where I will lock you out if you don't do things my way. And we talk about homesteading and permaculture a lot, too.
All the time.